It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Welcome to Forward Nation Radio. Thank you for joining us on today's show. Quick discussion about the news. We'll take some viewer questions, and then we'll talk a little bit more about American democracy and why we probably shouldn't be able to call ourselves a democracy. To start out, if you have a product to sell, you need good marketing. If you have a lousy product to sell, you need great marketing. Give the Republicans credit for one thing, and I won't be doing that often. They're good at marketing. There's that recent old saw, I guess, that liberals and the liberal media take Trump literally, but not seriously. Trump supporters and conservatives take Trump seriously, but not literally. That sounds inspiring. That's kind of beautiful, actually, when you get right down to it. What does it all mean? Well, think about it for a second. Apparently what it means is don't listen to anything the president says. Just believe that he's saying whatever it is you want him to say. That's great. No matter what it is, just believe it. This is why Trump says 10 things, and some supporters get a little disappointed because he does some of them. They only like 3 of them and don't like 7. They just assume that he's serious about the 3, and he's not serious about the 7. So where do we see this coming up? Well, the use of air quotes. We're going to have to add a new moniker to President Manchild, President Air Quotes.
How low has President Obama gone to tap my phones during the very sacred election process? This is Nixon Watergate, bad or sick guy.
That was one of Trump's several tweets on Obama's so-called wiretapping that has all at this point been entirely disproven. Shocking scenario there. Something that President air quotes said was actually disproven. So, how do the Republicans react to this? Well, the president wasn't serious. He wasn't to be taken literally about wiretapping. He meant something else. And you could just figure out whatever it is that he meant, but you could trust that whatever he meant, it must have been true. Okay, let's play this game. Let's try to figure out what President air quotes meant when he made that statement.
How low has President Obama gone?
Okay, how low has President Obama gone? What could that mean? How low can you go? That's limbo, right? And to tap my phones, tap with 2 P's. We're assuming that that's just because the president doesn't know how to spell. He obviously doesn't know how to spell hereby and some other words too. So maybe he just messed up. But maybe, we're not giving him enough credit. Tap, as in tap dancing. I know it's still spelled with 1 P, but it sounds more like it could have 2. So dancing, President Obama, who likes to dance? I think in Trump's universe, he's talking about black people. So he's saying black people at this point. I think we can assume that this is about black people.
Tap my phones during the very sacred election process. Very sacred election process.
Well, the electoral process, of course, resulted in the guy who lost the election becoming president of the United States. What does he mean by sacred? That's a religious term. Donald Trump is a megalomaniac. So he's probably telling us he thinks he's God. And in fact, that makes sense because his tweets are supposed to be taken, not literally, but certainly they're supposed to be taken as authority. They shouldn't be questioned. Trump shouldn't be questioned. So he's kind of God. And then this is Nixon Watergate, bad or sick guy. What could that mean? Well, bad or sick. But it's or sick. Maybe the focus should be on or sick. You know, we've been talking about healthcare in this country. Nixon, Watergate. Nixon was paranoid, mentally ill. I think he's talking about healthcare here. I think what he's saying is, oh my God, no. Oh my me, black people have healthcare. I think that's what he's supposed to. Black people have health. Wait a minute. No. I don't think I quite got it. Healthcare. Healthcare is autonomy. It's making personal decisions with your life. Freedom, if I can co-opt the Republican word. Maybe that's a stand-in for freedom. Oh my me, they took my slaves away. I think that's probably what he was saying. Oh my me, they took my slaves away. I'm not sure that sounds better, but I'm kind of liking this game. You know who's not liking this game? Great Britain apparently is not liking this game. I don't understand. The country of Monty Python and Benny Hill doesn't have a sense of humor? They don't understand the concept of air quotes? In order to try to backtrack and make the fact that the president wasn't completely full of shit, he sent his minion onto Fox News to say, yeah, you wouldn't know anything about it. The intelligence agencies don't know anything about this. Nobody knows anything about this because Obama did it through Great Britain. And therefore, the people who have been saying that we don't know anything really don't know anything because they wouldn't know anything because it was the British intelligence services. Not putting the air quotes in where they need it, Great Britain apparently got upset about this. I don't know why. They really need to get a little bit more of a sense of humor. I don't know what he could have been saying there, but maybe he wants to get back as part of the British Empire. Maybe America should go back to being part of the British Empire. Maybe that's what he's saying there. And if he's saying that, then Britain really shouldn't be all that upset about it. Yeah, that's probably it. So where else do we apply President air quotes? Well, Trump released his budget recently. That really does require air quotes. Budget, this was nothing like a budget document. It wasn't complete. It didn't have revenues. It was basically a child's version of a budget, which kind of makes a little bit of sense there. It wasn't really a budget, if you look at it in any sense. What it really was a declaration of war. A declaration of war on the poor, on the middle class, on people who need government help. Destroy the EPA, cut its budget 31%. EPA's budget is minuscule in the federal budget, but that doesn't matter. Defund entirely the Corporation for Public Broadcasting? Sure, why not? This is an administration that is the enemy of information. Why would government be paying for people to be informed? That's ridiculous. The budget is a declaration of war, not just because it gives so much money to the military and to military-related contractors, presumably, but because of all the people it's going to hurt if it ever gets enacted, or if anything even remotely like it ever gets enacted. There is one consolation from Trump's budget blueprint, and that is it probably can be expected to improve the U.S. economy. I mean, sure, it'll improve the U.S. economy by the fact that businesses will be able to poison people for free. That should make them more willing to sell their products, make their products. But it will really improve the economy because it's going to grow the healthcare industry tremendously, because we're going to need to hire a lot of people to treat all the people who are going to get sick when we defund the EPA and we start or increasingly pollute our air, our water, cut down on business restrictions so they can further harm their customers, their employees. Think of all the money that will be generated in the healthcare industry trying to treat these people. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. Got to back that up a little bit. I don't think it's going to be quite as positive as I thought. I forgot that most of these people are going to have their health care taken away, so most of them probably won't be able to afford to go to a doctor once they get sick, so that probably won't quite have the economic impact that I would have liked. There's a lot to play out over time in the budget, and we will certainly be following this depressing story as it goes. I guess the big story for the week, of course, is once again Russian interference or the possibility of Russian interference in our election. And this is an issue that just keeps getting hotter and hotter and hotter. We have spoken about this issue, but we have avoided conspiracy mongering. We are not speaking from the right, we are speaking from the left. We will try to avoid conspiracy mongering. But at this point in time, it's starting to look ugly. It's starting to look like there is a case that needs to really be investigated. Those of you who haven't had the opportunity to watch, for instance, Congressman Schiff's opening statements in the congressional hearings on this, or of course seen FBI Director James Comey's testimony or anything about it, or any of the other testimony, you might want to take a look at some of that. Because it paints a pretty scary picture at this point. The coincidences are piling up. The fact that people within the Trump orbit may very well have reached out to Russia to interfere with a U.S. presidential election in order to get their candidate elected is looking more and more persuasive. So, how have Republicans responded to this earth-shattering news of possible treason and of a foreign hostile power interfering with a U.S. election? Well, one can expect how they reacted. They're very upset at the people who informed us that this might be going on. That's right. The anger in Congress, in the Republican Party, is not directed at the people who may have sold out the United States government and the United States people in order to gain political power, or even the foreign rival, the foreign dictator, who may have been responsible for that. No, sir, their ire is directed at people who allow the investigation to go forward. Keep an eye on this one, because they're going to do everything they can to bury this. It's time, for instance, for an independent prosecutor. We had one spending years investigating Bill Clinton's sex life. Maybe, just maybe, Republicans can find some resources to hire one to look into whether a foreign power is corrupting the United States government. Right now, it's in the hands of our Justice Department and a Republican Congress that is clearly evidence that they want absolutely no part of this. Yes, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who lied about his contacts with Russia during his confirmation hearings, is A, still the Attorney General, but B, supposedly recusing himself from this investigation, which instead will be handled by his minions. That doesn't provide me with a lot of comfort. It shouldn't provide you with very much comfort either. Watch out for one other thing on this one. The testimony of our national security people, as well as our congressmen, was greatly restricted by the fact that many of the documents involved, many of the information was classified. So one of the things that I'm willing to bet you're going to see over the next few weeks is Republican Congress and the presidential administration rushing to classify everything to prevent anyone from talking about it. Would this be happening if the shoe were on the other foot? If Hillary Clinton were the president and the same information was out? Republicans and Trump supporters wouldn't be talking about impeachment. They wouldn't still be talking about locking Hillary up in prison. I know, we had that. We still see those bumper stickers because Hillary Clinton took her work home with her. No, they'd be calling for her execution. They'd be burning Washington down, probably literally. But not liberals. Not the Democrats. But it's time to get some backbone. It's time to get a little angry. and it's time to fight for an independent prosecutor. If you are listening to this, call up your congressman, call up your senator, call up everybody you know who might be interested, and demand that we get to the bottom of this. This is a hostile foreign power that at this point in time appears very possibly, perhaps likely, to have compromised the President of the United States and a presidential administration. This is the Manchurian candidate with an even sadder ending. I happened to be listening to NPR for a little last night, and I'm listening to Brian Lehrer was on his show that he has periodically at night. I got to give Brian Lehrer a bit of a shout out here. To be able to be so cool and so unemotional when you're speaking to absolute jackasses is a talent that I clearly do not yet possess. And he's talking to one Trump supporter who said, you know, it's time to focus on important things in this country. Not this Russia stuff. Not this Russia stuff. This guy would be burning down the White House if this were the Democrats who were doing this. But we should expect more of the President of the United States. Really? Trump's conflicts of interest already at this point are almost comical in how extensive they are. This is a man who has already made it perfectly clear that he intends to run this country as if it's his own piggy bank and not at all for the interests of the American public that he's sworn to serve. The fact that he might have sold out to Russia for personal gain, this isn't hard to believe. This is pretty much par for the course. Speaking of conflicts of interest that are a lot of fun, and speaking of Republican hypocrisy, Trump family jobs and nepotism. I understand that Ivanka is moving into the White House. I expect that she will be selling high-end jewelry to foreign dignitaries and other visitors to the White House. After all, you've got to have a pretty good client base there of people who are likely to buy your jewelry if they're visiting your father, the President of the United States. The whole rest of the Trump family is apparently involved in helping to run the country. And this is basically sneezed at. A quarter century after President Bill Clinton asked his wife, one of the most brilliant and accomplished women in the country, to help head his health care task force, the Republicans went ballistic. Nepotism, nepotism. Where are the Republicans now? No big surprise. They're sitting silently in a corner. And finally, our last news item of the day. Of course, the Supreme Court confirmation hearings of Neil Gorsuch. What should this Supreme Court nominee be asked? Here's my suggestion to Democrats. Basically, one question. Is your name Merrick Garland? Maybe that's even a question that he would answer. There's really not any other questions except obvious softballs that were pitched to him that he can answer or he chooses to answer. But maybe that one he can actually answer. Why does this matter? Well, here are the Republicans speaking about why they refuse to do their constitutional duty to act upon Obama's Supreme Court nominee Merrick Garland a year ago. Here's Senate Majority Leader Yertle the Turtle. I have to stop myself for a moment. I just need to give a shout out to Dr. Seuss. One of the nice things about having children is I get to reread Dr. Seuss books. Yertle the Turtle is a tremendous story about the grab for excessive power, lack of interest in people below you. It should be required reading for President Manchild. And with due respect to Rachel Carson, The Lorax may be the best environmental book ever written. I suggest you read it. It shouldn't take you very long. But anyway, Senate Majority Leader Yertle the Turtle said, Republicans think the people deserve a voice in this critical decision. Republicans think the people deserve a voice. How noble. The people elected Barack Obama. They did it twice. The people voted for Hillary Clinton. They did that once. Here's a question for you. Of Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and Donald Trump, which one of them has not won a popular vote for President of the United States? If you guessed President, air quotes, you would be right. If the people deserve a voice in this critical decision, either Obama or Hillary should be making the choice. Here's Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley. The American people shouldn't be denied a voice. Oh, so nice, so noble that they are finally standing up for the American people. Well, once again, the American people have their voice. They voted for Obama, they voted for Clinton. Former Judiciary Chair Orrin Hatch. Waiting until after the election will give the American people a voice in the direction of our nation's highest court. Well, there's the people's voice again. Speaker of the House, Jellyfish. Any decision regarding the court vacancy is going to have to go to the American people. Democrats need to stand up and stop asking questions of this Supreme Court nominee and say, we will filibuster you, we will not vote for you, because you are not Merrick Garland, and the Republicans do not get to steal a Supreme Court seat by not doing their job, by not following the Constitution. Anything less is unimaginable. We're going to actually go through the motions that this guy should go to the United States Supreme Court, regardless of his views, and they are tremendously retrograde. But regardless of his views, it shouldn't get to his views. Neil, you may be the nicest guy on the planet, but you're not Merrick Garland, and they don't get to steal the seat. One other question I'd sort of like to see them ask of the nominee is, do you think that what the Republicans did in not considering the nomination of Merrick Garland was appropriate under the U.S. Constitution? He won't answer it. Maybe somebody has. I haven't read. You guys may know more than me about this one. The Republicans think they are entitled to a lock on the United States Supreme Court. Republicans have had a majority on the United States Supreme Court since 1971. Almost half a century. Since that time, they have lost the popular vote in 6 out of 7 presidential elections. 6 out of 7. The people's voice was, I want the other guy or gal. Why the hell do they deserve a permanent majority on the United States Supreme Court to take this country backwards? And the Democrats need to stand up and say, we are not going to be a party to this. Republicans want to get rid of the filibuster? Let it be clear what they are doing. Let them do that. Yes, their supporters will support anything they do because they're morons. But maybe it will energize those people who are not morons. Democratic voters to get out and vote. The 0.1% or so of undecided voters in this country who might actually, maybe it will motivate them. In other words, Democrats, get your crazy on. It's time to get your crazy on. Republicans always get what they want because they always bring the crazy guy to the room. And then they say, listen, you know, you gotta, I feel bad too. You gotta do it. We got the crazy guy over here. We gotta, you know, we gotta appeal to the crazy guy. Crazy guy's gonna burn down the room. What's interesting about Trump's budget proposal to slash federal spending is that federal spending was already slashed a few years ago. We're operating under sequestration, it's called. The Budget Control Act, 2011, I believe. Where the Republican Tea Party crazies proved to be so out of their mind and so unwilling to work to run the U.S. government that after we ended one shutdown of the U.S. government to try to avoid another the next time this issue came up, we passed something called the Budget Control Act, which led to sequestration, which would automatically take effect if Congress could not agree on a new budget. Now, the reason this was important was the sequestration was so absurd, was so offensive, was so anti-American that the feeling was that even the Republicans would have to come to the table to work out some kind of compromise solution that avoided it. Well, we underestimated their crazy. And for years, we've been operating under it. Slashing federal spending for necessary programs. And now we'll slash them some more. This country appears to be splitting in two between people with a brain and some thought about how this country might work for the benefit of people and Republicans. And the Democrats need to stop giving in because the other side is more crazy than they are. Maybe they're going to need to battle crazy with crazy. If we're heading to some kind of version of civil war, then let's do it already. Okay, listener questions. Emily from Mastic Beach. Thank you, Emily. Do you think Kellyanne Conway is really a genius for her question deflection? Most people now seem to regard her as an idiot. But is she really just well-trained in the art of question manipulation and avoidance? Thanks for the question, Emily. First thing I'd like to say about Kellyanne Conway refers back to something I talked about 2 weeks ago, which is the race to the bottom. The race to the bottom, which says that in a capitalist economy such as what we have, where checks and balances aren't in place, those who are more sleazy, who are less ethical, who have less of a conscience, tend to rise above all the others. Kellyanne Conway is successful in large part because she has no soul. She has no conscience. She has no sense of decency. She has no sense of enough is enough. And therefore, she can help get Killer Clown from outer space elected, almost elected, President of the United States. Is she a genius? Clearly she's not a genius. Is she an idiot? Well, she is. She's an idiot savant with one particularly strong talent. What does it mean to be an idiot? What does it mean to be a genius? What does it mean to be smart? These are terms that I've spent a lot of time thinking about and still don't know how to define them. Was the Nazi propaganda ministry smart? Was Joseph Goebbels smart? I don't know, but it's almost irrelevant. They were shit, and so is Kellyanne Conway. Why do you think it is that, this is from Molly in Merrick, why do you think it is that President Trump makes inadequate accusations such as Obama taped my phone on his Twitter account when he knows for a fact that it is not true? And what do you believe the consequences for this will be now that the FBI has revealed that no evidence was found to support this claim? Well, thanks for the question, Molly. I have to say that I'm not sure. Why does Trump make these accusations? I think, I'm no psychiatrist, but I'm pretty sure he's a pathological liar. And I don't know if you've ever known pathological liars, but one thing about pathological liars is they lie about everything. The thrill is in the lying. It's not a question of getting what they want, of using lying to get something, although Trump has the ability to do that. Pathological liars will lie about what they had for breakfast because their default position is to lie. And I think that's Trump. He knows it's not, she knows for a fact it's not true. I can't put my mind, into the mind of a Republican and wonder how much of their own bullshit they actually believe. For all I know, Donald Trump believes some of his own bullshit. God knows he spent his whole life surrounded by yes men. When you're a billionaire, people say yes to everything you say. So he's used to people agreeing with everything he says and everything he says being law. The gospel. Back to that argument. What do I believe the consequences will be for this? I don't think there will be consequences, for the most part. Not from his supporters. Another reason I think that Kellyanne Conway is successful is why Donald Trump, in large part, is successful. Are they smart enough to know how to appeal to morons? Or do they have an edge in not being very bright themselves and therefore, by default, knowing how to talk to people who are really stupid? I don't know, that may go a little bit too far. But in my experience, being successful at your job is not necessarily a statement of how smart you are. Anyway, thanks for the questions. We would like to make this a weekly feature, so please keep the questions coming on Facebook and our other social media venues. We'll do our best to answer what we can. Try to make the questions real easy, and then we can answer them. All right, I want to talk a little bit. We talked last time about America's pseudo-democracy. I'd like to spend the last few minutes of our show talking a little bit more about America's pseudo-democracy. Quick review, we don't have much of a democracy. The Electoral College obviously has resulted in two losers of the popular vote during your lifetime becoming president of the United States. The Senate. I think that requires a little more discussion how that pertains to stuff that we've already talked about. Neil Gorsuch's confirmation will be decided by the United States Senate. You will hear, if the Democrats threaten a filibuster, you will hear Senate Majority Leader Yertle the Turtle saying the Democrats are standing in the way of the American voters. The Senate, however, which will be confirming or not confirming Judge Gorsuch, is not Democratic. The Republicans have a majority, despite the fact that Democrats have gotten more votes for United States Senate in the last three election cycles, which encompasses the entire United States Senate. They have gotten more votes. Democratic senators have gotten more votes than Republican senators by millions of votes. And by many millions of votes, Democratic senators represent more voters than Republican senators represent. You want to talk about the people? You want to talk about democracy? The Democrats in the Senate should be determining the fate of Gorsuch's confirmation. We talked about gerrymandering in the House of Representatives last time. I want to briefly mention how gerrymandering pertains to the American Health Care Act. What's happening now is that Republicans in Congress are trying to blackmail, threaten, cajole, arm twist all the Republicans who are holding out from passing this pathetic bill. Whatever's left of moderate Republicans can be threatened, because they're not going to lose their House seats in a general election because they're undoubtedly in safe districts. They will be threatened by the Republican Party running a lunatic, a bigger lunatic, against them in the Republican primary. The problem right now for the Republicans in the House, this is kind of entertaining almost, if it wasn't so serious. The problem with Republicans in the House is that some of the holdouts on the American Health Care Act are the crazies themselves. The Freedom Caucus and the truly craziest Republicans in Congress, who think that the American Health Care Act does not go far enough in taking away people's health care and getting government out of the health care business. They can't really be threatened with a challenge on the right in the Republican primary. They are the right. And there's probably not a lot that the Republican Party can do to threaten them. Stay tuned for that one. aside from the institutional problems with our democracy, why we don't really have a democracy, there are several problems with our democracy that require a little bit of discussion that affect it, even if it were to be working more properly or set up to work more properly. The first one, of course, is misinformation. Now, I'm used to talking to people and saying the corporate media, corporate ownership of almost all of our media, overwhelmingly the most media that people listen to or watch, that corporate ownership strongly affects what people are hearing. The shift to the right in this country, the support of the interests of wealthy people and corporations, could certainly be linked to the impact that corporate ownership has on the media. Disney owns ABC. You know they are not going to be running reports on ABC News that are critical of Disney. They're also not going to run reports that are critical of their rivals, because they don't want to start that kind of a war. Then NBC and CBS would respond in kind. So we get pablum, we get meaningless stories, and maybe we get stories from a corporate perspective. Sadly, we are at a point now in this country where the corporate media may almost be our best hope in reaching people to try to stop the madness. Blatant lies, blatant propaganda have become, I think, even worse than corporate ownership. Corporations may be corrupt, but at least they don't want to see the end of the United States. They don't want to see their profits go down by United States becoming weaker. During the deregulation orgy of the Reagan administration, where this country's slide truly began, we repealed an FCC rule commonly known as the Fairness Doctrine. The Fairness Doctrine said that if you are going to be given a license to use public airwaves to reach the American people, well, one, you have a, it actually stems from the fact that you have a responsibility to act on occasion in the public interest. And the Fairness Doctrine said, if you are going to run editorials that take a position on an issue, you need to give the other side rebuttal time. Some of us are old enough to remember before the Fairness Doctrine was repealed during the Reagan administration, when you might see an editorial on the TV news, and then later that show or the next day you would see, this is a rebuttal to an editorial that ran on this TV station yesterday, where there at least was an attempt to achieve some kind of fairness. The commissioner of the FCC under Ronald Reagan, who helped end the Fairness Doctrine, repeal the Fairness Doctrine, came out and said, this is ridiculous. We shouldn't be telling corporations what to do. This is a common refrain in the Republican Party. No, we shouldn't be telling corporations what to do with public airwaves and public information. Yes, we should. But anyway, we shouldn't be telling corporate, because it's the job of a corporation to act as a market participant, meaning to make as much money as it possibly can. And government should not interfere with corporations making as much money as they possibly can. The repeal of the Fairness Doctrine led immediately to Rush Limbaugh. And in his wake, to Glenn Beck, to Sean Hannity, to Michael Savage, to Mark Levin, and perhaps to David Leventhal. I don't know that we can reinstate the Fairness Doctrine, but certainly there needs to be an effort made to make sure that people are exposed to different and more honest viewpoints in our media. We've gone from beyond corporate skewing of the news in favor of women throwing their babies out the window, man getting run over by a car, instead of corporate misconduct. We've gone from that to blatant misinformation, to President, air quotes, and a Republican Party that feels no restraint in lying every time they open their mouths. Also, destroying U.S. democracy to the extent that it exists is voter suppression. In 2013, the United States Supreme Court issued the Shelby County v. Holder decision to gut the Voting Rights Act. The rationale was that the Senate, this is from supposedly conservative justices, the Senate, which had voted, I think, something like 98-2 to reinstate it and reinstate it with the states involved, they didn't know what they were doing. The Supreme Court would tell them what they should have been doing. And the Supreme Court said, we've gone past our era of racial exclusion and voter suppression and Jim Crow. We've passed that point. We do not have to worry about it like we used to. Rarely is the Supreme Court shown to be as prescient as it was then, when within moments of that decision, many states rushed to enact and did enact the next day voter suppression laws, voter identification laws, efforts to limit access to the ballot box. There is a reason that Donald Trump and the Republicans talk so much about voter fraud. It doesn't exist, certainly not along the lines of what they are proposing. The problem in America is that people don't vote, not that they show up online to vote six times. But they're going to keep repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. Why? Because their moron listeners are going to repeat it. Who are you going to believe? Me or your own lying eyes? Or facts or science? So they're going to keep repeating it. Why do they repeat voter fraud? Well, I guess one, it lets Donald Trump say, I am a man of the people. But maybe more importantly, because it justifies laws to prevent people from voting. If you deny this, you're living in a hole somewhere. Republicans have been dedicated to preventing black people, minorities, poor people, and college students from voting for generations. Why? There's no principle there. There's no, this is for the good of the country. This is about the good of our political party. This is about our success. And that's all we care about. So we're going to stop these people from voting. In Texas, you can use your NRA card to vote, but not your student ID. That gives you a little bit of an idea of what this is all about. It's not because students are more likely to engage in voter fraud than members of the NRA. It's because members of the NRA are expected to vote Republican, and students, people with information and thoughts, are more likely to vote Democratic. And that needs to be stopped by the Republican Party. Tragic. Disgraceful. Treasonous. Next time, we'll talk about campaign finance somewhat at length and round out the threats to U.S. democracy and what we need to do to make this country more democratic and to move it in the right direction. Thank you very much for joining us. Once again, share us with your friends. Share us on social media. Like us on Facebook and wherever else you get to like us. Listen to us on Podbean. You're already listening to us, so I'm not sure why I'm telling you that. So, thank you very much. Spread the word. We hope you enjoy it. And keep your questions coming. We hope to see you next week. Thank you.
listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.